Hello, whole nine yards.
Hello.
We are here.
Back again.
Yeah, you're back.
Well, we're also back.
We are. In many ways, we never left.
It's true.
And this week, we got a lot for you with the words and phrases. So I'll just jump kind of in.
Cool.
Won't you? What do we call this umbrella? Theme?
Crazy?
Crazy?
This was a listener mail recommend, by the way. We should note.
Listener mail wanted us to do crazy stuff.
John from Mount Lebanon, I believe.
Suggested that
we do some crazy topics, and I postulated that perhaps he was inferring something to us.
Oh.
But he's not that kind of guy, probably.
No, I'm sure.
But yes, this is listener suggestions. These ones.
All right.
The topic, anyway.
So what do you have up, Ray?
Crazy as a loon,
which
was, again, listener suggested.
Nice.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Do you know the show Looney Tunes, Jay?
I've seen it once or twice.
Nice. And there's a character on this show, animated show, named Daffy Duck.
I know him.
Well, he is not a loon.
He's a duck.
He is classified as an American black duck.
Really?
Yes. I researched it. He's not a loon. He's Daffy, which means crazy, but he's not a loon. He's an American black duck. A loon is a...
Wait.
What?
I'll be the listener.
Okay.
Nobody said he was a loon. They said he was a duck. It's right in his name.
This is my intro, and
sorry.
I will go with it as I see fit.
Okay, you do that. I'm just confused over here.
It's my job to both confuse and inform.
All right, Daffy the black duck.
An American black duck.
American.
A loon, however, is a bird that is not Daffy Duck.
I've heard the loons call. It is nice.
The phrase, well, all right. The phrase, this word appeared around the 1600s, and it comes from an old Norse, lermr, I don't know, L-O with a line, M-R. And it's defined as a large diving water bird with a sleek black or gray head, a straight pointed bill, and short legs set far back under the body, and a hauntingly bizarre laugh-like call that they do at night.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But it never struck me as crazy. It's like if you were out in the woods alone and you hear this, you're like, dude.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. The hauntingly bizarre. Yeah.
I would have never described it like that. I would have described it as intriguing, unique.
So the word loon, bird, which was that definition. And then there's the loon that we defined as crazy, which is based on the word lunatic, which was shortened to loon around the 1400s. And we called people who acted crazy loonies because we referenced the possible, this is possible, speculative, no specific science here, just everybody knows, that the lunar behavioral influence, the electromagnetic pull of the moon, which affects the tides, would then theoretically affect the water content and concentrations in your nerve and your body and cause you to act a little wacky.
We're going to get so many letters.
That's fine. It's not me. This is all speculation. There's
okay.
No science.
No, I like it.
So those are like the two kind of definitions of loon that we've accepted. And I would imagine that the bird one is better because saying someone is crazy as a crazy thing doesn't really have the same impact as crazy as this weird bird who makes a bizarre laughing sound in the middle of the night.
I find that call quite intoxicating.
Sure. I mean, I'm not judging, I guess, the adjectives I did use were judgy. They're descriptive. It's haunting. It's hauntingly
Well, you said that's what
bizarre.
How they defined it right there in the thing.
I mean, I may have added a few.
Oh, you embellished?
I mean, it's a part of it.
All right.
So crazy as a loon, what I found is it relates to the bird loon. I don't know, because again, saying crazy is a crazy thing. That's not fun.
Not at all.
So crazy is the wacky bird who is not Daffy Duck.
All right.
The end.
I'll accept that.
Yeah. That's what I got to in there. Yeah. Nothing else felt like it needed further research on that, honestly. They were like, yeah, this is what I found, and seems kind of like, okay.
That's how some are.
Yeah, they are. Crazy as a loon.
Crazy as the loon. I have, so crazy as a loon, I guess I still hear people say,
mm-hmm.
I have mad as a hatter, and people just really don't say that now. Really, no one's saying that.
No, it's not. You're right. It's you just very specific scenarios where you'd use it, I guess. In writing, perhaps, but yeah. In speech. Hmm.
Right.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But still, all in all, Mad as a Hatter is part of this whole sphere of these kind of things. And you indeed might think, oh, yeah, well, right? Mm-hmm. Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, mm-hmm. 1865.
Yep.
Lewis Carroll. Is where it came from or something, but no, not at all.
Some might think that, sure.
Some would think that.
Yeah.
Whew, right, it predates. But yeah, the cat, what this cat called? Cheshire Cat.
Cheshire. Yeah.
Say, in that direction, the cat said, lives a hatter, and in that direction lives a March hare. Visit either you like, they're both mad. So he never really says the Mad Hatter.
Okay.
He just
refers
to
him as the Hatter.
And that they're both mad, the cat.
And the March Hare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one thing that I really liked, and this is sort of side color, and this comes to us from our friends at Wiki, of all places. This is the only place this was in my books, but Lewis Carroll lived near this guy, Theophilus Carter. Okay. You've heard of Theophilus. Of course, we all have.
That's a common name.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least 10. I know 10 people with that name.
And he was a fellow, some inventor guy that lived near Lewis Carroll and wore this big top hat and I guess was very colorful. So a lot of people think just, you know, because writers write what they see and what they know in their worlds, that that guy was sort of parts of him were written into.
Hmm.
Carroll's work.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. That's just a little side.
That's a nice. I love trivia.
Yeah. So we see the references of this, though, way back in Samuel Slick of Slickville, this book written by Thomas Halliburton. Yeah. You know, it was 1830s, right? So, man, you wish you could go back in time and write a book because he's
the only one on the
book. Yeah. Samuel Slick of Slickville, yeah, I got you.
You got to
read
it.
About this
what else
guy.
Are you going to read?
And yeah. So there are two references in that book where a character uses the phrase. And with that, he turned right around and sat up to his map and never said another word, looking as mad as a hatter the whole blessed time. That's one of them, and there's another. So right in that book, As Mad as a Hatter, and this is 1835.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yes, it predates Lewis Carroll.
Mm-hmm.
There are other references, but there's also another theory, which is really a little thin. But I feel the need to say it because it popped up in several books. And this general idea that in New Zealand, these miners would go out and mine alone in these, you know, whatever they're...
Mining.
Yeah.
The mines.
I don't know what they're mining.
Mines.
And just because they were out there alone, almost like solitary confinement, and they had these odd mining hats from the late 1800s, this is late 1800s, that they were referred to as that, Mad Hatters. So yeah, maybe somebody knew the term from Samuel Slick of Slickville and then sort of, as we see sometimes, re-employed it against this, and then it got recorded, and then 100-some years later, it gets consideration, but I really don't think that it has any weight in the end because, mm-hmm. and you ask, what?
I will. What?
I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
So in the 18th and 19th centuries, workers would use this toxic substance, mercury nitrate, mm-hmm. and grossly enough, but it was what people did. You turn the fur of small animals like rabbits into felt for hats. Mm-hmm. And so hat makers, what do you call those, Ray?
Haberdashers?
Haberdashers.
I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Haberdashers would be using this mercury nitrate mm-hmm. day in and day out, getting it on their skin, breathing it and what have you, putting Ooh. It on directly on their heads, their mm-hmm. hands. And it caused a sort of disease, a nervous disease in these people that caused them to shake. Mm-hmm. Sadly, a little bit like symptomatically like Parkinson's, mm-hmm. but it was a different affliction because of this specific chemical induction. But it was came to be known as the Danbury Shakes because Danbury at the time was a capital for hat making.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So people would call it the Danbury Shakes, but it also, once people really understood, hey, these hat makers get this craziness because it would also begin to affect all matter of you and then mm-hmm. not just your body, but your state of mind mm-hmm. and parts of your brain. So yeah, Mad as a Hatter seems clearly to be derived from this experience of hat makers and their affliction with mercury nitrate.
Yeah, man. Whew. So they're like poisoning themselves actively.
Actively.
Every single day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh.
But
yeah.
I mean, you know,
no,
in the early industrial age,
yeah.
We didn't know.
No,
people
you
didn't know.
You
they
know
used mercury for a lot of stuff.
Yeah. No, they, yeah.
You know?
There's some brutal treatments
yeah.
for some diseases that used mercury. And you're like,
seen them.
Guys, that's, oh God, why? Why are you doing that?
Just
no.
glad to be in the 21st century.
Yeah. Yeah.
So with that,
yeah.
Fine, a bit of news. stay with us. We'll come back with more joyfulness right after
these. More crazy.
More crazy messages.
Allswell believes in the power of a good night's sleep for all. Their products feature innovative technology and unbelievable comfort and support without deflating your wallet. Combining the best of both worlds, the Allswell features hybrid mattress technology with memory foam and individually wrapped coils. For a winning blend of comfort and support, follow the link in the show notes for financing as low as 0%, a 100-night risk-free trial, free shipping and returns, and a 10-year limited warranty. Designed to make good sleep accessible to all. Real luxury, unreal prices. AllswellHome.com. Whole Nine Yards is sponsored by Big Science Music. Big Science Music is a Cannes and One Show award-winning original music and sound boutique, providing scoring, sound design, radio, podcast, and audio post-production services for the advertising, film, and video industries. Big Science Music also offers ADR, casting, and project management. Big Science Music's reels, full capabilities, and more can be found at BigScienceMusic.com. That's BigScienceMusic.com.
Diggity, we're back.
Welcome.
Yeah. With the crazy topic, still exploring that one.
Crazy.
We had Loon, we had Mad as a Hatter, and Ray, you now have...
Off your rocker.
Off your rocker.
Yeah. So if I say off your rocker, I mean, we're talking about crazy stuff, so we probably don't have to...
Yeah, we,
it's
that
crazy.
Means you, yeah,
yeah,
you're off your... Yeah. This guy's off his rocker.
I have a specific definition, perhaps. Person behaving in a very strange or silly way, which, you know, crazy, whatever.
Yeah, it's all relative.
So I found information that this phrase dates to about 1897-ish.
All right.
Just for those people to check the filling this form, these forms out at home, they can fill it in completely with all the information. off your rocker. So naturally, speculation would drive you to a rocking chair, right?
Yeah. If you asked me about it, that's what I would think.
Yeah, perhaps older folks characterized in their rocking chairs, reading the evening news, having a nice time.
Yeah.
And then generally, diseases of the mind catch up to us, dementia or Alzheimer's, and they affect the more experienced folks that would enjoy the rocking chair.
Sure.
That's just speculation.
Right. That's what some would think
right.
this off-the-rocker might come from. Right?
More speculation, which I found, and I didn't think of this one, more in a pleasant way, really still in the rocking chair genre. But, you know, we're down south hanging out on our porches, having some neighbors over for a nice backyard hangout after
right.
work. And we're enjoying alcoholic beverages. And then perhaps one of us becomes inebriated and falls out of the rocking chair.
Oh.
You know, act like a crazy guy. You fall out of your chair.
Yeah.
Also, you know, that's cool speculation.
Right. I mean, that's a variation of the old person. Now you're drunk.
Right. Still rocking chair related.
Yeah.
But these would appear to be incorrect, at least what I've kind of went through more so. I like those ones as definitions.
I mean, they seem obvious.
But I kept on digging because I'm like, all right, what? Because I guess I thought, when I hear rocker, I think of rocking chair, of course, but I also think of a mechanical switch, just in general, a rocker switch.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's me. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I kept digging.
Or a rocker panel on a car.
Rocker panel. Right, exactly. Wait, what's that?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Part cool. of a car thing.
Someone write in and tell us. Yeah, so I kept digging because the satisfying answers or the easy answers are generally not satisfying to me. But I found that it sort of does kind of relate to electronics. And I'll just kind of go in with there.
All right.
A lexicographer.
I don't know what this is.
So like a lexicon grapher.
What does this person
they
do?
They study the lexicon.
That's a lot to study.
Yeah. Lawrence Erdang, I don't know, says that off one's rocker is a sister phrase or essentially the same phrase as off one's trolley.
Off of one's trolley.
Yeah. In his picturesque expressions. It refers to the once common spectacle of a motorman's attempt to realign the contact wheel of a trolley car with the overhead wire. Since the contact wheel is also called a trolley, off one's trolley may refer to the conductor's actions or the fact that the wires are off the trolley.
Yeah.
And you need to, the electric car won't function unless it's connected to the power lines.
Right, because with trolleys, I don't know where they're still running like this. I don't even know if San Francisco has the wires overhead.
We
I
have
don't
them
know.
Here.
Huh?
We have them in Arlington.
Okay, we had them.
Aren't the wires still up there?
No, I mean, they run off, they get their electricity from the tracks. Right?
I thought the wire, but they're still, okay, there are wires overhead, though.
All right.
I believe you.
No. The old trolleys would have, right in the middle of it, would have that weird antenna stick with a wheel on it. I'm just describing it for people, right?
Yeah. Like Back to the Future
One. And that was like power up there, and then I think the tracks were ground or the something, and so...
Completed a circuit or whatever, right? Yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly. So the rocker is like synonymous with trolley, but trolley meaning the wheel... I tried it out. I don't like it. Meaning the wheel of the electrical connection was also called the trolley.
Okay.
Yeah. So Erdang, did I say this? Goes on to say that off one's trolley and off one's rocker became very popular, like basically at the same time that streetcars were so prevalent.
But this would make the definition not very crazy. It would just be like if I ran out of steam, then you would say you're off your rocker because I didn't have my electrical wire.
Well, he's kind of referencing the phrase in the flailing or speedily way that the trolley coachman motorman would be trying to get the trolley back on on the wire.
Okay.
Like, oh, I'm off the trolley. Crap. And I gotta hurry up. Hurry and get up there and get the trolley back on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got to do it.
Right. So it kind of like basically they became the same. And the rocker switch, rocker mechanism was a similar thing that kept a machine moving forward, the rocker.
Amazing.
And if you're off your rocker, you're not functioning. And if you're off your trolley, you're not functioning. So they are like the same phrase that kind of came up at the same time and the same time, I guess. Again, I'll say time. Same time.
I like it.
And then, you know, nothing happens for several hundred years, and we get to The Simpsons.
Wait.
What?
What do you mean several hundred years?
Because, well, 1897.
That's not.
It was at least 100 years.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't have trolleys in 1750.
No, 1897.
Okay.
Bart Carney, episode starring the late Jim Varney as a carney.
Wow,
and his
man.
Son, Cooter. No, he's Cooter, and his son, Spud. They are grifters, and they get Homer and Bart to take over their ring toss game for a while. Spud, the son, is trying to teach Bart how to be a carny, and Spud says, you know, you got to, like, sweet-talk the people, insult them, use slang from the 30s that no one uses anymore. And Bart says, like rubes? And then Spud says, now you're on the trolley. Oh, God, it's so funny.
Sure, it's good stuff.
And then they end up, the grifters get the Simpsons house, and then Homer has to come up with a grift to get them their house back. It's a good one. Bart Carney.
But I'm gonna just say, he said, now you're on the trolley.
Because he's back.
Like, to reverse it. Like,
right, he's
it's
got,
all hooked up.
Well, because he says,
because
he understands.
Used it, yeah.
Yeah, he understands. Like, oh, like the slang from the 30s that no one uses anymore. He says, like rubes?
No, I get it.
Now you're on the trolley.
But no one ever says you're on your rocker. He's always on his rocker.
No. Well, because, I don't know.
But on the trolley, I like that.
Now you're on the trolley. Now you're on the trolley. So that is off your rocker.
That's a good one.
Thanks. What do you have?
I have a really simple one.
Okay.
It is nuts.
Nuts.
Like you call somebody, yeah, he's nuts.
He's nuts.
Right?
Nuts.
Which in my research really is not the same, which you in your life, Ray, mm-hmm. brought this into my speak.
All right.
To say, nuts to that.
Nuts to this.
I never said that before, but I enjoy it.
Thank you.
But that basically just means to hell with this. And that's in a whole other category of things. But I looked at it. So nut, mm-hmm. a fruit consisting of a hard or tough shell around an edible kernel.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, man, this one, there is no dispute. It is easy, fast, and simple. Here's what it is.
Give it to me.
All right. So you know how people are. They you know, they want to be playful. You know, you call your head a lot of things. You call it a noodle.
Mm-hmm.
a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And by mid to late 1800s, people called your head a nut. You know,
okay.
They'd call it a noggin.
Mm-hmm.
They called it a nut.
All right.
And that's what they did. And so it didn't take very long from once the head was called a nut,
mm-hmm.
to sort of mean you're out of your head, you're not right in the head, you're off your nut, you're nuts.
Okay, yeah, right.
All those things unfolded quickly, and, you know, the earliest time it was in print was in Biloxi in 1884. But for the most part, there is no other, no definition. No disputing. We don't really call our heads nuts anymore. Like, yeah, use your nut. You might say use your noggin.
Might.
Off your nut, out of your gourd. That was the same thing. Your gourd was your head.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all it is. The end.
Makes sense. The sweet kernel inside the tough shell.
I don't think it was an edible kernel.
Edible kernel.
Right. Sweet.
Edible kernel of brains.
Right. Around a hard or tough shell.
Yeah. I think, perfect.
Yeah.
Get on your nut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Use your nap.
It's mm-hmm. We would say noggin if you're going to use a word like that, or noodle even. I
noodle.
Guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't
noodle's
hear that
good
too
one.
Often, but
no.
It. But more than nut.
Yeah.
So that's the crazy episode
crazy.
Of Whole Nine Yards.
That's crazy.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
And mail us with other ideas. Some of these crazy ideas were mailed
yeah,
in.
Yeah, listener suggestions.
We would love for you to mail us in some stuff, too. That's heyu@whole9yards.org. That's heyu@whole9yards.org. And send us thoughts, comments, suggestions, relative criticisms. And we won't shred them.
No, we'll read them or take them.
Sure. That is it. I'm Jay.
I'm Ray.
And we are not idioms.
Whole Nine Yards is written, recorded, and produced by Big Science Pods. Learn more at whole9yards.org or contact Whole Nine Yards by emailing heyu@whole9yards.org. That's heyu@whole9yards.org. Whole Nine Yards theme music composed by Big Science Music.